Eric Weinmeier has lived a remarkable life. 2001, he was the first blind person to reach the summit of Mount Everest. In 2008, he climbed the seventh summit, the highest peak on each continent. He's written books and produced a film of some of his accomplishments entitled Farther Than the Eye Can See. When was the last time you trusted God to go beyond what your eye could see? Let's pray. Lord, help us to trust you beyond what we can see with our physical eyes and logical mind. You can change hearts and lives when we choose to follow your way. We know nothing's impossible with you. So free us from the temptation of relying on ourselves, on others, on our possessions. Teach us what it means to walk by faith with you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today, we're still in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 12. This is quite a familiar text. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteousness, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith it's impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about the events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that was to receive an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a long time in a land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him with the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has its foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. Have you ever done anything by faith? And by that I don't mean rolling out of bed in faith that someone else made the coffee or breakfast. That's being a benefactor of someone else's kindness. Probably one of my first acts of faith was learning how to ride a bicycle. Although I would play many sports at high levels, most of this happened without thinking. It was just a natural response with very good eye-hand coordination. But riding a bike took a sequence or a process of thoughts. One of the things working against me immediately was trying to ride an older sibling's bike that was way too big. It was kind of like being on a big horse. When you fall, the drop is from a lot higher and the thud on the ground a lot harder. Everyone I knew could ride a bike, which was both encouraging, it was possible, it could be done, but also kind of embarrassing. I couldn't get my cycling badge in Cubs because I couldn't ride a bike. So there was a sequence of things I had to navigate at once. A bike that was too big for me, balance once I was on the bike, catching the pedals for my feet, and steering so I didn't run into something. But what if the bike couldn't hold my physical weight? Or if it was impossible to balance it while steering, leading me to drive into objects. I accidentally took out one of my dad's car headlights with a handlebar from the bike. I'm not quite sure how this is even humanly possible, even if you wanted to do it. I fell way too often, scraping and cutting my legs on the gravel, but eventually learned to stay upright. What happens when you're on a road less traveled than riding a bike, which most of us learn at some point? This is what the Christians in the book of Hebrews are trying to sort out. Is their faith in an invisible God going to carry them through all the bumps and falls we experience in life? Do you trust God with certain parts of your life, but not in other areas? Areas that are too fragile, too personal, that you cannot afford for them to fail, or you cannot endure the uncertainty of the final outcome. The apostle points these believers to look back on those who have put their full weight, their full trust on God, the God of heaven and earth. We not only walk with millions of Christ followers in the present, but we can look back on the testimonies of those who have gone before us. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, but the conviction of things not seen. Did you ever hope to get something at Christmas? Like a live pony, a gaming system, or a boyfriend, and it never happened? To just hope for something doesn't mean it'll become a reality because of the million variables. They don't allow horses to live in cities, especially in your house. All the gaming systems are way too much money, and we're all sold out, even if your parents did have the coin. And that frog that kissed you, thinking it was a prince, he was really a toad. Things of faith are often not things seen through the eyes of our physical world. If we knew ahead of time how things would play out, it would no longer be faith. Hebrews 11:2 and 3, indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understood that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what was seen was made from things that are not visible. First of all, others have lived by faith in the past and have received God's approval, so such a thing is possible. But right at the start of our world, we trust that God spoke everything into being. In Genesis 1:1, it says, God created the heavens and earth. Psalms 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth all the hosts. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. The Lord merely speaks, and the things that were not visible before, the stars, the oceans, us, we all appear. Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, his brother. We have the first children of Adam and Eve. One acts in faith and is accepted, and the other does not, which is recorded in Genesis 4. Daryl Johnson has suggested the issue was not with what they brought to God, but their attitude. Abel came with a surrendered heart to God, while Cain came with an attitude of self-centeredness, trusting in something within himself. Abel's gift was received with approval as righteousness. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. Even though Abel is long dead and gone, his example, his legacy, still speaks to us today. A life lived to please God is not soon forgotten. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken, so he did not experience death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away, he had pleased God. Enoch's story is told in Genesis 5, 23 to 24. It says Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. We're only aware of two people who didn't die physically in the Bible, Enoch and Elijah, who was taken up in a chariot of fire, described in 2 Kings chapter 2, Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever would approach him, God, must believe he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. If you want to please God, it only happens through faith. Trusting the one we do not see with our physical eyes, but only through the spiritual eyes, and then seeking this one you're trusting. Everyone in this room could say, we're trusting God by faith. But when difficulty comes your way, what is the first thing you go to for comfort or help? It'll reveal what we're truly putting our faith in. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, warned by God about the events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. They estimate the ark was 510 feet long. Could you imagine building a boat that size in your neighborhood without water within miles of where you were building a boat? Now that takes faith. It took between 96 and 98 years to build. And you're upset at your neighbor's broken down car that never gets fixed. In 2 Peter 2:5 it says, and God did not spare the ancient world except Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he had stayed for a time in the land, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to a city that has the foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Have you ever left home not knowing where you were going? I'm not talking about navigational challenges here. God led Abraham to leave his family, his homeland, everything he would have had that made him feel comfortable or familiar was gone. How many times have people asked you what you do or what your future dream is? Abraham's was to get out of Dodge to who knows where. Just leave home and start walking, and I'll tell you when you get there. The things God was promising Abraham, he could not see in the physical. Even in Hebrews 11:10, Abraham looked toward a city whose architect and builder was God. This most likely points to Revelation 21:2, the holy city of God. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And then the last section, Hebrews 11:11-12, is still speaking of Abraham. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Two big problems here. First, Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah's 9 years old, way past childbearing years. Secondly, Sarah's barren. They've been trying to have children for close to 70 years. How likely is it that they would have a child in their old age? Would you be holding out after 70 years? At the end of verse 11, who was making who the promise? God was making Abraham a promise that he would make a great nation out of his family. And Abraham believed God by faith. Verse 12, as a result of Abraham's faith in God, from one person, this one as good as dead. Descendants were born as many as the stars of heaven, innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. God promised to give Abraham a family so big it would be almost impossible to count them all. We know when Jacob, Abraham's grandson, went down to Egypt through the help of Joseph, his son, there were approximately 70 family members. 430 years later, when Moses leads them out of Egypt, there's well over a million descendants of Abraham. A survey conducted by the American Academy of Family Physicians shows that 99% of doctors believe there's a relationship that exists between faith and physical healing. And they did a case study in California. They had 400 people in the case study. 200 people they had in this case study, and they had people praying for them. What had happened was all 400 people had been through heart surgery. So these 200 people, they had people praying for them, but the patients did not know that. These 200, nobody were aware of was praying for them. When the case study was over, those who had been prayed for, over half, they had 50% less complications than those who had not been prayed for. How is this possible? Ephesians 3:20 explains it like this. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Martin Luther said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Then it accepts the impossible, does without the indispensable, and bears the intolerable. And Hebrews 10:32-34, you might remember some of the suffering the apostle mentions this young church was experiencing. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and beaten. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same. You suffered along with those who were being thrown in jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. For you knew there was better things waiting for you that'll last forever. What are we willing to trust God for in our lives? Our finances, our marriages, our children, our occupations, our comforts, our dreams. Having faith and trusting in Jesus often calls us to move beyond the things that we can see in the physical, the things with the natural eye, far beyond what we can taste, touch, smell, see, or hear. Sometimes waiting for God to do what we want him to do, what we think he should do in our lives, our family, our friends, our church, our world, takes a long time. Sometimes the things we long for, we might not see in our lifetimes. And that is a hard message to hear. Between 500 to 600 years after the promised child, Isaac, was born, the nation of Israel was over 1 million strong, but Abraham never saw it with his own eyes. And then we know the people of Israel wandered another 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience before they entered the promised land with milk and honey. I'm sure the more recent translations have more accurately updated and said milk, chocolate, and honey. Sometimes the things God is speaking into our lives that he's asking us to trust him for happens immediately. Other times it could be a matter of years or even decades to see his promise come true. And finally, some seeds he's planted in our hearts will not bloom until long after we are gone. Planting the seeds of hope that'll be harvested by others. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of the things we cannot see. If you are waiting for God to show you the final outcome without trusting Him in the start and in the middle, that is not faith. If the outcome was assured, it would not be trusting God for what you cannot see. In our text today in Hebrews 11:6, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. We know it is possible to live by faith because of those who have gone before us that have done it. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. What is happening in the spiritual world transcends what is happening in the physical. The question is, will we choose to live by faith to be an example to the generations that are coming after us? Let's pray. Jesus, we invite you to lead us and learn what it means to be faith-walking people, to trust your leading of the Holy Spirit more than our physical senses and desires, to hold on to what you say, especially when the way is neither clear or easy, willing to be misunderstood or misrepresented, but not letting go of your hand. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange Thank you.
have a couple announcements. I'll do the benediction. We'll sing one more song, and then you're dismissed. Just, I guess, the two bigger announcements. One is next Saturday, 28th, we're going to do a cleanup here. You can sign up for it. It'll be 10 in the morning. And the other one is the church picnic. And so it's, as Wayne so aptly put, 13 sleeps for Dave Parsons. And so what will happen is we'll have the Sunday morning service on June 5th. And then afterwards, it tends to be quite wonderful on those days. And we'll have a picnic outside in our incredible green space. Have you ever talked to anybody about Jesus? And their thought has been, if he reveals himself or proves himself, then I might believe in him. It doesn't work like that. If we aren't putting our faith in Christ, in the unseen, who are we putting our trust and faith in? Usually it's ourselves. I'm going to control this. I'm going to manipulate this. I'm going to make a way through this. What I've said to people at times is, if you're unsure about God, do this. I say, now, don't do this in public, maybe hide in a closet. But I say, put your hands like this. It's a surrendered position. And say, Jesus, if you're real, come and reveal yourself to me in such a way that I know it's you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen.
If you'd like to stand while we close, feel free.